Galatians 5, verses 1 to 15. Christ has set us free. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you would be justified. By the law, you have fallen away from grace, for through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Thanks be to God for his word.
Morning, church. Let's start with a word of prayer. Lord, here we are in this worship service, ready to hear from you. Use your word to speak to our hearts, to teach us about freedom that we have in Christ, and to live by your Spirit in that freedom. Make us attentive, receptive, obedient by your grace. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Freedom is a powerful word. It's a powerful idea. Through history, people have fought wars, suffered, and made great sacrifices to be free. And Paul speaks about a different kind of freedom. In Galatians 5, he's talking about freedom that comes from Christ and cannot be taken away. This freedom is not weak. However, there is a tension. There is a tension that it does not depend on our performance and our effort. But if we misunderstand this freedom, we risk losing the joy and power that it offers to us. So Paul, in this letter, as we just read, writes with urgency to the Galatians, warning them that they are on the verge of losing this freedom. They are not in danger of losing their salvation, because their salvation is secure in Christ, but they are at risk of losing the freedom from fear, from guilt, and the desperate need to prove themselves. Let me tell you, this is not a problem for the Galatians. It is also a problem for us. Today we will learn from the Galatians in chapter 5 how to live by grace, not by works. And we'll explore three major truths. And the first one is gospel freedom liberates us from the fear and from the condemnation. Paul begins in verse 5 by declaring, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Notice that Paul doesn't say that our freedom is weak again. He tells us to stand firm. It's not a freedom to do whatever we want, but a freedom from fear and from guilt. That is a completely different. We have been told many times that we do not need to fear condemnation because we are made righteous in Christ Jesus. But sometimes when we hear this truth, we may think, if I truly believe that, I could live any way I want. So if I am righteous, I can do whatever I want. I cannot lose my salvation. And so, at first glance, the gospel might seem to remove all motivation to live a holy life. And this is why, over the centuries, some have lessen the gospel radical message and replace the true gospel freedom with a message that merely tries to stop people from doing anything they want. In order for them to do not do whatever they want, let's put them rules and let's take the rules from here and so they can live like a Christians, right? Paul is clear. The freedom we have in Christ leads us to obey God. We obey not in order to please ourselves or others, but because we have been set free from the fear of failure. That is a powerful truth. Free from the fear of failure. When I was a child, I visited my uncle's farm. His name is Anacleto Salguero. Yeah. His animals could walk freely. But one old horse always stood near the fence. And so I asked my uncle, why doesn't that horse go out like the others? And he said that horse was tied up for many, many years. Now, even though he is free, he still feels trapped. He doesn't have any chain, any rope, but he's still beside the fence. Even though he is free, he still feels trapped. This horse had all the freedom he could want, but in his heart. Not in reality, in his heart. He still feels like a prisoner. This horse was trading his freedom for chains. And in our lives, when we try to earn our standing with God through our own actions, we return to a place of guilt and judgment. What Paul calls to slavery. And Paul reminds us that if we depend on our own efforts, even something like circumcision to make ourselves right before God Christ, says in verse 2, Christ will be of no advantage to us. Christ will not help you at all. Either Christ is our only righteousness, or he has no value to us at all. And so, as we have seen, that the gospel frees us from fear and from guilt. Now, let's see in the following verses that the gospel freedom gives us confidence and hope for the future. Look, even though Jesus has saved us, Paul says, we must continue to rejoice in our salvation and live by it every day. Every day, our salvation is secure. We cannot lose it. But we can lose the freedom that protects us from fear, guilt, and condemnation. We can live as Christians without the freedom. With guilt, with condemnation, afraid. As we saw in Galatians chapter 4, Paul gives us a powerful truth. Trying to earn God's approval through rules is like being a slave. And he's writing to the Galatians who used to be trapped in false worship following idols. This society, the Galatians, they serve these very demanding idols like Zeus, Hermes, thank you, Cybeles. They demanded perfect devotion and punished any failure to perform their rituals, trapping people in a circle of fear and to meet impossible standards. Those were the idols of the Galatians. And Paul warns them that if they go back to relying on following the law, like getting circumcised to be right with God, they will fall back into feelings of fear, guilt, and insecurity as they did when they were serving their gods. It will like be returning to the same anxiety they felt before. Always wondering if they were good enough. And Paul used a very strong language in these verses that we read. But in verse 5, if you go and read with me, it says, "For throughout the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness." This is a very important word that you should underline in your Bibles. The hope of righteousness. In this verse, waiting is not described as anxious striving. It is a confident anticipation. It's like a courtroom where the verdict has already been decided in your favor. So you do not worry about what might happen because you know that you are free. You just need to hear the verdict. But you already know it. No anxiety there. No preoccupation. You do not worry about what might happen because you know your freedom is secure. Our future glorification is as certain as knowing, since you are sons, God has made you also an heir, as we read in the past chapter 4, verse 7. You are a son and you are an heir. You should live without fear, with hope of righteousness. Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, no other religion or philosophy can give you this kind of hope. Someone without this faith does not know where they will be after death, and therefore they have 7 steps to try to be perfect. They must follow these to the minor letter of the law of these religions. Someone who relies on good works can only hope they have done enough. But Christians, how beautiful. Christians know the truth. Our future is guaranteed. Jesus is preparing us to be holy and blameless. This is the hope of righteousness. To be holy and blameless before Him. I don't know if you believe this, but God already sees you as His beloved child. And Paul finishes this section with this powerful truth. The only thing, says in verse 6, the only thing that works is faith working through love. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. Faith is not about following rules to impress God. It's about trusting in Jesus, in the hope of our future that He promised us, and showing His love for us to others. And that's all. Now that we see that this gospel freedom gives us confidence in the future, the last part of these verses calls us to love others and warn us not to misuse this freedom. Paul says in verse 7, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? What happened to you, my dear brothers and sisters? You were running well. Notice, he is not telling them that they are not running. You were running well. And now you are running poorly. And so in next verse, Paul identifies what is the problem. He says, false teachings, false teachers. And he puts that illustration in verse 9. False teaching is like leaven. False teachings is like leaven, a small amount of yeast. Can spread through our entire lump of dough. And all of us know that, right? You just need a little bit. And it's growing. Even a little bit of legalism can damage an entire community. You were running well, but I am afraid that a little bit of this is contaminating all of you. A little bit of this is spreading among you. And so that's why his words are very, very strong. The truth of the gospel is in danger. Please pay attention. And so in verse 10, he says that he's confident that the Galatians will return to the truth. I have confidence, says verse 10, in the Lord, not in you. I am confident in the Lord. You will take no other view. And the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty. And he says, whoever he is. I don't know that person by name, Paul says. Whoever he is. And then if you read in verse 12, notice the other very strong words that he uses. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves, will cut themselves. If they want to live that way, yes, do it. It's very strong. But it's because the truth of the gospel is in danger. And he continues saying, this truth of the gospel is worth defending, even if it costs us. In verse 11, he says that if he's still preaching circumcision, no one would persecute him. But if I, brother, still preach in circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. But I am being persecuted still, and people is hating me because I am telling you that grace is enough. He preaches the cross. A message that offends human pride. So therefore, he faces opposition. The message of grace offends human pride. The cross tells us we cannot save ourselves. And that offends those who want to earn their way to God. What do you mean that I don't need to do anything? Today, legalism is still a danger. It may not be about circumcision, thank God. But it appears in other ways. Trusting in our good behavior, thinking we are valuable because of our religious activity, or feeling better than others because of our obedience to God. When a legalist asks, how is your relationship with God? They often expect answers like, I'm reading my Bible every day, or I wake up at 5 a.m. to pray. Or I fast once a week. I give my offerings faithfully. I serve in missions or charities. But let's be honest. That is not what defines our relationship with God. You don't become more of a son or more of a daughter of God by doing more things. You already belong to Him because of Jesus, not because of your efforts. More activity doesn't equal more belonging. It's a paradox. More activity doesn't equal more belonging. Ah, but a legalist. They will insist you need a discipleship program. You need 10 steps course to be more Christian. Or more spiritual disciplines to really grow in your relationship with God. It's a paradox. You already are a son and a daughter of God. Take that truth to your heart. But grace, Paul says, protect us from these lies. It reminds us that Christ alone makes us right with God. That our relationship with Him is not earned. It is given. It is a gift. And that is the beauty of the gospel. And that is the contradiction of legalism. Paul ends with a strong message in verse 13. He says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." True Christian freedom is not doing whatever we want. It is using our freedom to love others. Legalism traps us in guilt and pride. Guilt if we don't do, and pride if we do more than others. That's legalism. But grace frees us to love without conditions. That freedom that we have received produces in us to love as Jesus loved us, unconditional. And in verse 14, Paul sums up the whole law in one phrase: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. He's just repeating what Jesus told us. The sum of the law is loving yourself as you love your neighbor as well. Loving yourself is when you take your Bible, you read it, not because it's going to give you more relationship with God, but because you are going to spend time with a God that you already have a relationship. You will have a dialogue, as we were hearing from Bert. A conversation is going to be a relationship, but it has been already established. Yes, that's loving yourself, praying at 5 a.m. because the Holy Spirit is waking up you to pray for you and for others. You are going to fast, not because you want to be in a better relationship with God. You are going to fast because you are going to enjoy your relationship with God. Leaving apart, leaving behind all the pleasures of the world. Saying, my pleasure is you and you alone. And out of doing these things, we are going to love others without conditions. Legalism cannot create this kind of love because it focuses on us and our actions and our success. But grace turns our eyes toward others. He closes in verse 15 saying, but if you bite and devour one another, you are becoming legalist to yourself and legalist to others. Therefore, you are going to be demanding things that you cannot do, and you are demanding things from others that they cannot do. But if you bite and devour one another, demanding things, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. The standard that you put on others is the standard that they are going to put on you. And so everybody's going to be demanding from others. But a community, a church, a gathering built on grace is humble, is patient, and is full of sacrificial love. So if we close up, verses 1 to 15 calls us to a life of grace, not works. It is a call to freedom, not the empty kind that serves ourselves, but the kind that frees us from guilt, from striving, and from self-righteousness. This grace shapes how we live, protects us from deception, and compels us to love others. And here is where I want to put a question for all of us. Are we truly living in that freedom? My fear for myself is that I am sometimes living by the fence, like the old horse. Afraid to step forward and to enjoy the freedom that I have received from God the Father through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in me. Maybe we are weighted down, trying to prove ourselves rather than resting in what Christ has already done. Maybe we are misusing freedom, serving ourselves rather than serving one another. But if we embrace this grace, if we live in this grace, we will become a people of love, humility, and unity. What if today we take an honest look at our hearts? It's very easy to look at our heart with this question. Are we living in the joy of the gospel? Yeah. Is there joy in your life because of the message of the gospel? If not, Paul is pointing to what may be the problem. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the freedom we have through Jesus Christ. But today we are praying that you will guard our hearts from pride and self-reliance. And we pray that you will teach us together how to walk in the freedom of your grace. May your Spirit shape us into a people who love deeply, who serve humbly, and stand firmly in the truth of the gospel. In Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.